and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, May 20th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Chris, Lauren, Bob, and Natalie. And welcome back to our special guest podcaster, George, from ImagineNerding.com. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Heather.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hi. Sorry. Now that there's another guy on here, I'm going to have problems differentiating myself.
So. Oh, no.
I'm the one that sounds like Kermit the Frog, so...
I don't know if it's more Kermit or Fozzie.
Well,
it's Fozzie. I think it's Fozzie.
Okay.
I can't do a Kermit, but I can do a Waka Waka Waka, so that wouldn't work either.
No. Don't confuse the listeners.
No, that's true.
On today's show, we will be bringing you news from all around Disney. Well, a little bit anyway. And we will end the show with listener questions. We have a couple of those. Our first segment tonight, as always, is announcements.
Disney's going to be having a mermaid transformation package at the Pirates League. It's for daring little girls who want to have radiant and cool colors of the ocean. For limited transformation is for the girls who want to have their inner mermaid shine through. The package will include makeup transformation with iridescent and vibrant colors of the seas.
Are they going to look like a fish?
Yeah, kind of like.
With the iridescent
tears, nail lacquer, shimmering hair accessories, face gems, a Pirates League sheath, and a special gift from OPI. It's going to be a limited time they're going to be doing this, and it's going to run $29.95 plus tax.
Okay.
And you can call and book it through the Pirates League. And that's going to start, by the way, Friday, May 20th.
Friday, May 20th. Okay. Today. Awesome.
Chris, I thought you had something you wanted to bring up.
It is the Tiki Room. That was Bob. Bob stole it from me so Bob can have it.
Oh, but he's being
nice
quiet.
Nice segue. Yeah. I like that.
But you know what the thing is? It's important that we talk about the Tiki Room because I'm remembering the last time we had George on, we actually talked about when the Tiki Room caught fire.
Yes.
And I guess now they're saying that the Tiki Room is going to be back under the old
management.
Yes, it's going to go back to the Tropical Serenade,
nice.
Which was the original show from 1971.
Thank God.
So, but it will go back to its full like 20-minute length as well, so make sure you go to the bathroom before. You go to see it.
Nice
advice. It's a long wait. It's a very long wait.
Hey, when you're in there, you're going to appreciate that advice.
That's true.
Exactly. So.
We need to do a show on shows. We need to go to the bathroom beforehand.
That's going
to
be a short show.
Well, that are in rides as well, like, you know, Mission Space.
Oh, my gosh.
Rock and Roller Coaster.
You get to the front of the line, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I've got to go.
Oh, we were getting on Big Thunder Mountain Friday evening, and a mother and daughter came off running off the fast pass line. She's got to pee. Where do we go?
Oh.
The closest question is, of course, are by Splash Mountain. So I hope they made it.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. That's how we got on the ride. We didn't think much of all of it. We did get, this is news, got evac'd from Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Did you really?
Never happened before. Got up first lift hill and it stopped. They made an announcement, came around and got us, walked us out.
So, do you go backstage when they do that?
You go in stage, right there, because you're inside the first lift hill.
Okay.
So they take you out. I got to touch Big Thunder Mountain, which was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And the bats that are hanging are actually not even
real
rubber, the kind of cardboard.
Oh.
Are they really?
Yeah, which was kind of sad because I thought they
ruined it for me.
Rubbery effects. I got to take like 3 or 4 good pictures till they said, put your camera away. You're backstage. I was like, oh,
wow.
Okay. I will. Happily.
Yeah, did you play ignorant? Oh, I had no idea.
Start speaking a foreign language I just made up myself. So, but that was that. I guess that's not really newsworthy, though.
It's interesting.
So, but anyways, yeah, the Tiki Room will open up in time for the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World on October 1st. Which would be great. And a very nerdy thing to do on that Saturday. So,
okay. Are we done with news?
Well, I was thinking if we're going to be talking about attractions that just opened, I think we need to mention that Star Tours has officially reopened.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, after a 9-month hiatus, the ride is back with all new effects. It is now in 3D and all new destinations. And one of the coolest features about this is that there are 54 different possible combinations.
The Imagineer at D23 said it would take you 6 hours to hit all 54 of them.
6 hours of straight riding.
A straight riding to hit all of them. Yep.
Yeah. So, that 54 different possible combinations. So every time you ride is going to potentially be a different experience. The ride vehicle is supposed to be, redesigned. I know the 3D glasses are described as really sleek looking and not those cheap plastic yellow ones. So we'll see how long it is before people start stealing them.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm afraid, is what's going to happen.
I saw some
happen
on eBay already, so.
Yeah, see, so people are already taking them. So I'm pretty sure they'll go back to the cheap plastic ones. That is great. And I think it's going to be the go-to attraction now at Hollywood Studios, a park that desperately needs go-to attractions. So I think people will be running in that direction for a fast pass now, and it may actually take some of the stress and strain off of Toy Story Mania.
Let's hope so.
Now that I think about it, the last time we went to Hollywood Studios, it didn't even cross my mind to go to Star Tours. Didn't even cross my mind.
Was that before they closed, even?
It was when it was closed, but it...
Oh, you didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I never think about Star Wars. We're not fans. I mean, big fans, so...
I'm a fan of the ride, but I'm just surprised that
I didn't think of it. To me I guess they had this idea to update the ride for many, many years, but they were waiting on the technology to catch up. They knew they wanted it to be 3D, but the technology wasn't there. Enable them to do that properly within a ride setting, better sound effects and that sort of thing.
That's kind of like Avatar. They had the whole idea, and they just had to wait for the technology to come to be able to do it.
Catch up, yeah. And another interesting fact is it's still 4 minutes and 20 seconds, so it's still the exact same length as the original ride.
That's cool. Is interesting.
Yeah, kind of neat.
And leave it to Bob to know it.
Yeah.
Well, there's all kinds of interesting facts and things that I think Star Wars fans and Disney fans will appreciate. I mean, you'll see tons of Star Wars characters, and there's lots of inside gags. Madame Leota from Haunted Mansion apparently appears in some of the onboard luggage. So kind of a shout-out to Haunted Mansion fans. And,
I like when they do that, make a cross-reference type thing.
I don't know. Some of the inside secrets and stuff. For instance, they call it Flight 1401, and the significance of that is that Disney's offices in California are located at 1401 Flower Street.
Oh, yeah, Imagineering headquarters. No, Imagineering headquarters is something different. Yeah, they you should have been there at D23 to hear Jason Searle talk about making the attraction and redoing it and actually getting to pitch the idea to Lucas.
Yeah.
He said that was amazing.
Very cool. And I'm sure he's in there too, because that's just George Lucas's way. So
that's his
stuff. Looking forward to seeing that shortly.
Maybe he was tucked away in a steamer trunk or something. Maybe not. But you were saying it'd take 6 hours, and I'm thinking to myself, it would probably take me 18 hours to go through them all because I'd forget about half of them and then have to see them again. It's like, oh, wait, did I see this? I don't know.
Or I'll get the exact same one every single time I ride it.
Oh, well.
Every single time.
That'd be bad. That would be bad. Oh, okay. So let's move on from news. We're going to go over to George. And George, you have just returned from Destination D, Walt Disney World 40th.
The Destination D, of course, sponsored by D23, the official fan club of Walt Disney, so they can take even more money. I didn't say that. Is actually the only event that's going to recognize the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World. The company's not planning anything else, so this was very, very, very big.
Nothing else?
Nothing.
Really?
They're going to do a small ceremony that Saturday morning at opening for the Magic Kingdom, but that is all they're going to do.
So that means if you see anything with 40th anniversary on it, you should get it because it will be a collectible.
Yeah, they've got like cups and mugs and magnets and, you know, all sorts of different things tied to the early years of the company, but they're not doing any other official celebrations with that. So this is a big change.
That's disappointing. Yeah.
I love when they do the big celebrations.
That's the morning of the run. The marathon is on the 1st.
That's going to be our day.
Yeah. So it's kind of strange. The other thing is the big D23 Expo is in August in California, and they didn't want to plan it too close to that. So I guess it sort of kicked off the end. But yeah, it was 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And it was $175 a ticket, which I was very, 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 very apprehensive about that much money.
Who wouldn't be?
But in hindsight, it was fantastic. It was really amazing. Some of the stuff was mind-boggling good, what they had. And some of it wasn't, of course, in my opinion, wasn't geeky enough for me. I knew that, or I didn't know that, but this was an opportunity. They had Imagineers, the Disney legends, had retired executives and managers that had opened the resort back in 1971. They introduced everybody to the first ambassador, and, you know, they all had to be women at first. And when she signed her contract in 1971 to be the first ambassador for Walt Disney World, she had to guarantee she would not get married during the first year. So you couldn't be married when you were the ambassador. That was fairly interesting, to say the least. But the whole 2 days was just filled with speakers, panels. I got to see Marty Sklar, Bob Gurr, Bob Matheson, all these, you know, people that created all these rides and all these attractions. About the years, probably one of my highlights was I did get to meet Dave Smith, the retired head of the archives of the Walt Disney Company. He just retired recently, and they promoted Becky Klein. But being a public librarian, he's sort of my hero. You know, wanted to be a super librarian one day. And we got to see him talk about Walt Disney World the way it was. And he went over a lot of closed attractions. And this is one of the first times that Disney has publicly acknowledged a lot of what they've closed at Walt Disney World. They're always very quiet about what they've done there. But they had about 1,200 people showed up for the event, which was pretty astounding. And a lot of hand soap was used. I know that much. Because a lot of
what?
People went to go to the bathroom. The sessions went from 9 until 12. And then from like 2 until 5 without a break. So everybody at the lunch break and the supper break ran to the restroom. They didn't want to miss a moment of it. The coolest things that I saw, they had Pass Forward. They showed an hour of really strange Walt Disney World clips. They showed this thing called Grad Night. When they first started introducing Grad Night to the Walt Disney World property, they sent this 10-minute-long video clip to all the schools in the area to entice the teens to come down. And you had these two hippie-looking guys, musicians, in their late 20s, strumming acoustic guitars like Pied Piper, with these teenagers just following them onto this bus. It was frightening. And then they're all wearing these weird suits, and they go and spend 6 hours at Walt Disney World in the dark. It was odd. It was odd, but it was great to see it. And on Sunday, they had more Imagineers come up and talk about how they designed all the rides, the hotels, everything. And the coolest thing by far, after all of the seeing the panels with all the former Imagineers, was they had Magic Journeys, a flight of fancy through 40 years of Walt Disney World musical moments. They brought some of the original Kids of the Kingdom from the 70s came out, and they looked amazing and did a song. Then they had the Main Street Marching Band came out and did 3 or 4 songs. And they dimmed the lights, and Tim O'Day, who was the host for the weekend, came out and introduced Richard Sherman. And Richard sat at the piano and played for about 35 or 40 minutes. And, of course, Richard and his brother wrote It's a Small World, wrote all the Mary Poppins songs, the Winnie the Pooh songs, a lot of the attraction songs that we know and love. And they wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which of course is the best non-Disney Disney movie ever made from there. And he played for about 35 minutes, and he started playing the song from Journey into Imagination, and they brought out the original Dreamfinder back from 1984, the guy who had done it originally. And everybody stood up and cried and did that. And they brought the Encore, which is the Walt Disney World cast, choir, and orchestra, and they played a 35 or 45-minute set of just Epcot songs with full orchestra, full voices, vocals, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house, and everybody was waving their arms and singing along, and it was great. It was overwhelming. But talking to people about it afterwards and throughout the conference, some people were really into it. Some people were confused by what was going on. They didn't quite understand what the people were talking about. But I thought it was great. If you ever have a chance to go to a D23 event, please do, because it will be fun. Well, we saw probably the geekiest thing that nobody expected was they recreated a ride-through of the Western River Expedition, which is the fabled mythical attraction that was supposed to be where pirates in Big Thunder Mountain was supposed to be. And it was Mark Davis, one of the nine old men who helped create the Haunted Mansion and Pirates in California. It was supposed to be a swan song. It was going to be a train ride, a boat ride, walking trails on this huge, huge show building that was going to look like a butte or a mesa. And it would have been amazing. And they found the artwork in the archives. They put it together. And Tony Baxter and Steve Vagnini from the Walt Disney Imagineering Archives in Florida basically walked us through it. And it was more artwork than we've ever seen for this. And everybody was just in amazement and wonder.
That's got to be like a really emotional, exciting.
It was exciting to see a lot of this. But they talked about the Western River Expedition, some of the dark rides, like where there was going to be a Mary Poppins ride, another ride based on Sleeping Beauty that they were going to do in Fantasyland, and a wizard stool based on the duel between Merlin and Mim from The Sword and the Stone. But this is after Walt died, of course, but his brother Roy stepped in and said, no, let's make it just like Disneyland. I want to do the same rides. I wouldn't want my brother to be happy with it. So
I do like how sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they do things the way Walt would have. And I appreciate that. I respect that.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the meets was called Making the Magic Happen. And they had Jack Lindquist, who was the president of Disneyland and opened Walt Disney World. Bob Matheson, Tom Nabb were all in operations. Charlie Ridgway was the PR guy, and Bill Sullivan had worked with him. All took a moment and gave their opinion about what they thought Walt would think. And they were all, this is massive. It's amazing. It's such a huge complex. He probably would have wished they'd been able to do the Epcot Center as it was presented by Walt in 66, but knowing that it probably might have been too hard to pull off. So that was interesting. It was just really great to see that. And I met a bunch of other real geeky bloggers like myself, and met a bunch of authors of works I greatly admire that write about Disney history, but it was fun. And, if you get a chance to visit a D23 event, I think you should. And everybody listening should join D23 simply because the D23 brand or fan base thing actually supports the archives. And the Walt Disney Archives doesn't make money otherwise, and this keeps them alive and keeps them collecting the history. And that's all I'll say about that. That's the only commercial that I'll put in there. It's just join D23 and help support it. Because they're librarians and I'm a librarian, and we have to scratch each other's
backs. Yes, thank you.
Yes, something like that.
Can I just ask George, what your thoughts were as to, discussion regarding the Fantasyland expansion? I mean, I know that I was there a few weeks ago and, taking pictures of the ongoing construction it's amazing how fast they can put up, metal. and piles of dirt disappear. But I'm just curious as to if they shared any insights or that sort of thing.
Exactly. We had there was one team that presented on Sunday. It was three different Imagineers. One of them was the project manager for Fantasyland, And the other was project manager for the new Star Tours ride, shows a lot of the great concept art. And the other one was the concept manager for the Art of Animation Resort that's opening on the other half of the Pop Century. They didn't really show us any new artwork, stuff that I hadn't expected for Fantasyland that we hadn't really seen. It was just really nice to hear the Imagineer talk about how they had changed it and how the fact that they were going to have water features in the new Fantasyland. Because previously, because of the Utilidor, they couldn't plant trees, they couldn't have a lot of water, but there's going to be a waterfall off of the Little Mermaid attraction, and that water is going to flow underneath the restaurant for the Be Our Guest restaurant with Beauty and the Beast. They showed us a lot of the interior of Gaston's Tavern, which he said it was fantastic designing Gaston's Tavern because it is everything Gaston. It's Gaston everywhere. He said the Imagineering team came up with stuff made out of antlers he didn't even knew existed. And he said that's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to walk in there and know it's a Gaston. Because there's even the, I'm sure you guys have seen the Fountain of Gaston. You know, it's the Fountain of Gaston, paid for by Gaston, in honor of Gaston, right in the middle of the courtyard. But it's a lot of the artwork we've already seen, that same style. It looks amazing. It's going to be a completely different experience from what we've seen, because you know you've had the 55 Fantasyland in Disneyland, which is pretty plain, and the 71 Fantasyland at Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, was the one we're used to now, was mind-boggling compared to what they had before. And then, of course, the Disneyland one in 83 was that quaint European village. So what we're going to get now is a forest. It's going to be an enchanted forest. And it looks great. I'm excited about it. I'm not a big princess fan, so I'm glad to see that they've added, well, I am, but not officially, that they've added all these other things like the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, things like that. And he said that they're just a little bit behind on the, it was either the Dumbo attraction or the Fantasyland train station, redesigning all that aspect, that they were just a little bit behind, but you know, said things should be coming pretty well. So,
well, yeah, Bob, I guess it starts opening. I'm looking forward to the Star Tours. I mean, I always thought it was a great ride.
I loved it to begin with.
Just maybe a little bit outdated as time passed. The fact that it will change every time is nice.
We saw Jason Sorrell was there Sunday morning, who was the guy who wrote two books about Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean, but also did the whole reimagining of the redo of the Haunted Mansion in 07, you know, where they had all the effects and the endless hallway and the bride in the attic. And he was there with Jason Grant and Alex Wright, two other Imagineers, and they talked about projects. Jason went nuts about Star Tours and talked about when they redesigned Endor's Vendors, how they wrote words in Arabesh, the Star Wars language, and he stopped and said, wait a minute, this isn't canon. There was no Empire on Star Wars. You know, and started really freaking out about it. It was great. I was great. I was like, yeah, okay. It's a good geek moment, but I think I've allotted my geek time here, Lisa, so. But it was fun. It was awesome. I had a great time.
Would you recommend this to anyone? Did you think it was worth? I know, because originally I know you and some of your friends were like $175, and you all were kind of upset about it. Do you think it was worth the money for somebody who has that kind of interest?
Yeah, if you were really interested in early 70s Walt Disney World history, being able to see these Disney legends and Imagineers, you know, before they passed away, they're getting up there in age. In hindsight, yeah, it was well worth the money, or well worth spending $175, which is a lot more than the California Expos, and they give you more days in California. It's usually 3 or 4 days. But you have to remember, they have to fly everybody out there, pay for hotel rooms, stuff like that. So there's a little bit more cost involved with it. And usually D23 has done smaller events like food and wine events or Christmas-related events during the area, right, so you get to meet other friends. But this was actually the Walt Disney Company acknowledging the history of Walt Disney World, which they tend not to do very often at all. So we'll see if they do anything else in the future, like maybe for the 50th anniversary. We'll be the next time we see something this big.
Well, clearly they're not doing a whole lot for the 40th for Disney World. Just this little celebration. So I'm still bummed. I was looking forward to another Pepto cake or something.
Yeah, there will be that small, they'll do a small opening ceremony October 1st, that morning at the opening of the Magic Kingdom, and that's about it. There are some fan events going on as well. I know if you get on the interwebs and start looking, there's some people putting together their own get-togethers and events, like the Epcot 25.
Yeah, there will be no shortage of that.
I saw that.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of those, so we'll see what happens. Maybe we can create our own Pixie Vacation.
Well,
1971, no air conditioning, you know, and you can only stay at the Contemporary and the Polynesian because they're the only two hotels open that time period in 1971.
I wonder, I am going to be curious.
Fort Wilderness was open.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I don't consider that an entity myself because I don't camp.
We can all bring tents and camp out. Wouldn't that be awesome?
No, it wouldn't.
No, that would not be awesome.
It wouldn't even be awesome when the love bugs aren't out and when it's not hot. Well, wait a minute.
Well,
in a camper, it would be okay.
You get leeches, don't you? You get leeches if you camp, don't you?
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind the camping, but, you know, it's really hot.
Go to the cabins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of
room. While we're at it, let's just go to the Contemporary.
That's my next stop.
I think the Contemporary. That would be the place to stay. So
we'll find Chris in one of the spa rooms.
Yeah, really? Oh, that would be great.
Huh. Oh, that's right. The new spa rooms. Are those going to be $200 a night, too? No, you said those are only the guard.
Sorry.
No, I actually have tried to book those because I had a client who was interested in something a little more upscale, and they're not booking them yet. So
amazing.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. I mean, because those are supposed to open soon. So
I'm dying to know what they're going to cost.
A lot.
You will die when you find out what they cost.
No doubt.
Wow. For a little extra, we can make them a spa room.
Yeah, we'll put a wading pool in there and a humidifier.
Well, what if you get a room with a bidet?
Oh.
Wonderful world.
You can use it
colors,
as a sprinkler.
Colors.
Turn it up high enough.
And put food coloring in the water.
Brilliant. You could put food coloring in the water and shine flashlights on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it would all be
who
one color.
Illuminations?
I do, please.
And if you get your stuffed Mickey and put it around there, you can make Fantasmic around the bowl. So
well, as long as we're talking shows.
Thank you, Bob. Oh my gosh.
Does he get extra credit for
Oh my
segue?
Gosh, he's getting a bonus,
good.
Let me tell you. Wow.
Woo.
Wowie, yeah. Wow. Okay. True main topic for tonight, aside from our special topic, park shows. We're going to be covering the shows that Disney puts on, like the parades, the stage shows, spectaculars. Maybe we're going to talk about some of the street entertainment, anything that is a show versus an attraction, although some of the attractions are shows. But we're not talking about those type of shows. We're not going to talk about PhilharMagic or anything like
Muppet
that, are
Vision
we?
Muppet Vision,
yeah.
What about, like, Beauty and the Beast live?
Yes, yes. We will talk about that.
Of course, if you went back into the 1970s of Walt Disney World history, there were lots of live shows. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Just finish.
Well, no. They had the Fantasy Fair stage in the back. They had the Tomorrowland stage.
I remember that.
And lots of little things you would stumble upon, live music throughout the parks, everywhere. Marching bands. Mm-hmm.
There's also Captain Jack's pirate tutorial.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah. Well, I just looked. The Dream Along with Mickey is the one that's at the center court. I just found that online is the center court, right in front of the castle.
Right. Any advice for that one?
That is a wonderful show.
I love that show. But what about the dreams when Donald comes out? Sorry, that was my Donald Duck impression.
It was. Wow. It sounded just like Chris.
Uncanny.
Sorry.
I'm not like Bob. Yeah,
that was terrible, Chris.
I'm not a show pony like Bob. You know,
just for our listeners, is you know, grab not only a park map but also a Times guide, and you'll see a lot of this entertainment, like the stage show and the parades and things, on your Times guide. So if you do want to catch, you know, these things, you know, you plan accordingly.
Well, I don't think they put everything in writing.
Well, they don't, but they put like the castle stage show is on there, and the spontaneous stuff like the Dapper Dans you're not going to find on there, and you're not going to find the piano player outside of Casey's on there. I mean, that's just one of those
things.
Yeah,
that's based on availability and
that's just scheduling. You know.
But I think there's a lot more over at Epcot where they've got the World Showcase with the countries. And you do have Voices of Liberty, and you've got the acrobats in China. You've got the drummers in Japan. I know they have a special name.
Oh, taiko drummers? Oh, what's that called? Yeah. Oh, well.
yeah, I think you have the mariachi, right, in Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go through this. Does each country have something?
They're called Matsuritsa. Matsuritsa is the Japanese drummers.
Okay.
That's it. That's
I would say most countries have something. I don't think all
What does Canada
countries.
Have?
Canada has Off Kilter.
Ow. United Kingdom.
The
Beatles band.
The Beatles band, but they just finished
the
Sound-alike. Up, unfortunately. Yeah, but unfortunately they are gone. I think something will be coming to replace
what
them,
about-
but yeah, unfortunately they're gone.
What about the guy in France that does the whole chair stacking thing?
Did you ever see
that?
Yeah,
that's really neat.
I love that.
I just saw his name. It's a weird name.
It's French. Of course it's weird.
Amusant.
Yeah.
Serveur amusant. So the amusing server, basically.
Right. I mean,
so,
it's really scary.
It is.
In America, you can't forget the Spirit of America, the Fife and Drum Corps.
Life and Drum Corps, and also lots of people miss the Voices of Liberty, the a cappella group.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
that's
really.
That's inside, right?
That's a pre-show.
Yeah. That is a pre-show to the American Adventure Show at the American Pavilion, and it's about 15 minutes long and really, really talented singers.
Yeah.
And then there's also the World Showcase players, right?
Yeah, you get the garbage can guys.
Jaminators.
Oh, Jaminators. Yeah,
Thank
I
you.
Love the Jaminators. So, and well, of course, what about Oktoberfest in Germany?
Ah, can't forget
it's
Oktoberfest.
Like a dinner
it's always
show.
Oktoberfest.
It's a dinner show.
So. I'll give you half a point for that one.
Okay.
What does Norway offer?
Good looking waiters.
okay.
And they have the ride.
Yeah, but. That's an attraction that's going to go in that category, but
ooh,
like street entertainment
trolls.
Or anything. They don't have any trolls that walk around.
No, they don't have anything that they out front. It's a
but those almond pretzels.
Those are good.
Oh,
Mexico has the margaritas.
Gosh. Here we go talking about food again.
well, food can be entertainment.
The food,
easily distracted.
The World Showcase is all about food. So,
And for some, beer.
Yes. Or other alcoholic beverages.
I heard margaritas mentioned, yep.
So it looks like we have Japan has entertainment, China.
What about Italy?
Italy, I've seen they have...
Oh, they've got the mime.
Yeah, they have the street
the statue.
Performers, yeah.
They have
they
the
have street,
street performers,
performers
and they have the statue.
And in Via Napoli, they have the ladies come through in the red dresses and their accordion and they sing. It's very cute.
And I've seen them doing an act, too, outside of Italy. So
that's
they have
actually,
that.
That's actually, they've got a lot going on there.
They do. Oh, of course, the fountain show.
Mm. Oh,
that's fabulous.
Yeah, the Nations, Fountain of Nations.
Yep, Fountain of Nations. And then kind of on the same note, it's not a show, but it's fun for the kids, is those dancing fountains that you can find in lots of areas. That's something that you can take the time to enjoy with your kids.
Well, if you're going to count the dancing fountains, what about the lighted bricks?
I like the lighted bricks.
Oh, yeah, the star bricks.
Yeah, anything that might distract
Those are cute.
You. Yeah, might distract you from your regular path.
If you want something that's going to distract you, just take some Beverly. So.
Oh, no thanks.
No? Okay. Okay.
No. Do you want to explain that one?
Yeah, the strange tasting, at least to most people, beverage from Italy that's in...
Bitter.
Used to be called Ice Station Cool.
It's called Club Cool.
Now it's called Club Cool.
Club Cool. It's over by the fountains on the right-hand side in Future World, and you can go in there and you can try different beverage samples from various countries around the world. And yes, the Beverly is, because it's meant as a palate cleanser.
And that it does.
And yes, so it is bitter to most people. So if you want to play a practical joke on your family, you know, have your video camera or your camera ready and tell them how great it is and make them take a big old gulp. And, you know.
It is a nice little refreshing stand.
Yeah, it's air conditioned in there. You know, and some of the drinks are actually really, really good.
Yeah, some are nice and fruity and sweet and different. You know, it is an experience. You know, it's not just a free drink, but it's kind of cool to taste what they drink all over.
It was much cooler when it was Club's Ice Station Cool because they had the front when you walked into it was sort of like an ice cave on Hoth.
Ice thing, yeah, I remember that,
which was awesome. But we're getting off track again.
We are.
an ice stage on Hoth. You're such a Star Wars geek.
Exactly. Okay, now real quick, we missed the obvious Illuminations. Okay, let's go around real quick. Favorite place to view Illuminations, Bob?
Italy.
Okay.
Italy, although if you can find the spot, there are benches behind the little quick service stand by the Rose and Crown pub.
Yeah.
That's a great place to view, but it typically fills up quickly. But yeah. Italy has a great spot to view Illuminations at Epcot.
Okay, thanks, Bob. How about Chris? What is your favorite place to view Illuminations?
Mine? Okay, I'm going to confess. I haven't seen Illuminations in about over a decade.
Okay, then make something up.
Okay. I like to go to Rose and Crown.
Okay, that's a good place. A lot of people like to go there. That's why it's kind of crowded. All right, so let's see. I'm going alphabetically. George?
If I have the chance to see it, probably by Japan, just because you can dawdle on the way out and you don't have to go out with massive throng, you know, the massive people there. And it's not a bad place
with
to see it. And
cattle call.
Yeah, Japan's such an awesome pavilion, has some of the best bathrooms on the property.
You're obsessed with bathrooms.
That's another show. Keep it to what we're doing.
If we make it to Fort Wilderness, I have a great bathroom hoop-de-doo tip. I'll hold it.
Hold it.
Okay. Pun intended.
Yeah,
that was good.
Okay, so I guess Lauren is next.
I like to over on the over by the bridge, over near England, in that general area somewhere usually.
You know what, Lauren? I agree with you. I like the bridge right by the UK. Yeah. And I'm not sure if I like that because it's a good viewing spot or because we're usually at the beach club and it's a nice escape.
Quick getaway.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. But there really, is there a bad spot to view it? I mean, it's such a big show.
Remember when we were there in October, Lisa?
I do. But we had the dessert party.
I know, but I didn't think that was a great spot.
It was a very good spot.
I know, but I thought it was semi-blocked to the left.
A great tip about the viewing spot is ask one of the drivers of the Friendships which way the wind is blowing and go opposite. So if it's blowing from Mexico to Canada, stay on the Mexico side. So keep the smoke out of your face and all the ash from falling on you and stuff like that.
And then laugh at the people over in Canada?
Yes. Because, of course, they'll be able to hear you in the middle of all the music and everything. So,
sure.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, just text them. Well,
text them.
Well, as long as we're talking nighttime shows, what about best viewing spot for Wishes?
Oh, that's right. We did skip that. I'm so sorry.
The bridge into Tomorrowland.
No. The Grand One.
Oh, well, yeah. See. I mean, if you can do the Grand One, yes, the Grand One is the best. But no, my favorite spot is normally on Main Street, right between Casey's and the ice cream store. No further than that.
We go to the corner right by Casey's. We've been there a few times.
Right in that area is the sweet spot.
You do that for the parade and the fireworks. You don't move. You eat a hot dog, and you're good for the evening.
The only thing now with the other nighttime show that they have introduced to the Magic Kingdom, the Magic Memories and You show, which I know we covered in one of our earlier shows, 15-minute show, but really, really cool and worth seeing for the castle effects that they do. But you kind of want to be close to appreciate to it. So, yeah, so you kind of have to move up closer to the castle to see all that. And then, you know, because people are jostling to see Wishes on Main Street, it kind of becomes one big mess right in that area. So, not sure what the solution is there. I still haven't figured one out. But you kind of want to be up close for that show. But yeah, I agree with you, Lisa, that Casey's right in that area is a good spot to see all the fireworks.
And there are so many good places to see it. I know that in back of the castle, you can get great views as long as you don't have a tree in your way.
Miss the animation. There is
a lot to be said for being in front of the castle. If you just want to watch the fireworks and listen to the music, it's still a great coordination. You're not really going to see Tink. So you won't see Tinkerbell fly.
And, you know, if it's one of the holiday celebrations, like Hallowishes or the Holiday Wishes, it doesn't matter where in the park you are.
Well, I beg to differ.
I don't agree.
That's true. But the fireworks are everywhere.
The fireworks, so it is surround fireworks, but...
Yeah, so you can see it.
But if you
stand on the bridge going into Tomorrowland, there's that big tree that blocks everything.
Yeah.
You have to move around the tree kind of and look around.
Yeah. But
I loved it. I stood right under the little wire.
But, you know, there are also good spots, like Lisa was saying, outside of the park necessarily, like the Grand One, you know, or a fireworks cruise is, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're lucky enough to score a dining reservation at the California Grill, you can see the fireworks. And here's a little tip is you don't need to book dinner right around the time of the fireworks. You can dine earlier and save your receipt from dinner and then – as showtime approaches, go back to the hotel, approach the podium, show them your receipt from dinner. They'll put you in the elevator, send you back up to California Grill, and you can go out onto the balcony and watch the show.
Mm-hmm. It's
a great place.
It's only half a step down from sitting at your table and watching. Because actually, you might be better off doing it that way because the chances of getting a window view aren't real good.
And it was nice out there, honestly. It was nice. Incredible to be, you know, 15 stories up and looking at the fireworks
wind
that
in your
way.
Hair.
That was, yeah, I mean, it almost made up for a terrible dinner.
Oh, yeah, Bob.
Getting off topic. I know, but sorry.
Mr. Pessimist.
Yeah.
Okay, but getting back to those special events with the Hallowishes and such, I do think that you really want to be in front of the castle for that, whether you're on Main Street or on the bridge or something. Doesn't matter in the hub, just get in front of the castle. Mm-hmm. So that's my two cents on that. Let's try to jump to Hollywood Studios. There's a lot here, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot.
There's a lot of street entertainment. Well, Chris, why don't you start us?
Okay. Well, of course, there's always the street entertainment, especially in the mornings when you first come in, when you're waiting at Rope Drop and you're all nervous because you know you have to run over to Toy Story Mania. There's always a guy there, the director guy, and he's sort of like trying to pump up the crowds. And inside you're thinking, oh, please just let me go get my fast pass. But so there's that. And then several times a day you can see what's probably one of the best, if not the best shows on property, which is Beauty and the Beast live on stage. That's excellent. And most of the people are singing live, and they're all very talented. The costumes are excellent. The show, the story is just really good. So there's that. And one of my other personal favorites is
The Little Mermaid show. I can't remember. What's the proper name?
Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Thank you. That's nice. They have a super cute little queue area where you can wait and, you know, just check out some different objects that are sort of supposed to kind of, you know, be from the movie and things like that. And then you go in and there are just all kinds of amazing things going on. Like, it's like you're at one point it's like there's water above you, like you're actually under the sea. I love that part. There's a little bit of water that sprinkles down on you, and then they start the show, and that's a really excellent show.
It is.
Those are my two favorites.
Okay. But I'm going to put that in the attraction category. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, really? You don't think that's a live show? They've got someone singing
live
and everything?
It is. Beauty and the Beast, I don't know why indoor versus outdoor matters in my opinion, but I'm considering Beauty and the Beast.
I love the Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. So
that is my favorite.
But you know what? I have not seen it since Four for a Dollar left.
You know what? I originally, when I heard about Four for a Dollar, I thought, oh, that's going to be so corny. And I saw them, and I thought they were cute, and they did add something to the show. But frankly, they didn't take anything away when they were gone either.
I enjoyed Four for a Dollar. Sorry, Chris.
Well, no, I'm saying they were cute and everything, but I don't necessarily miss them. Can I tell you a little story? And I wrote about this on my blog, actually. But the last time I saw Beauty and the Beast live on stage, we were sitting behind this family, and we ended up talking to them, and they'd clearly done no planning, and they didn't know what the show was about, and they didn't know there were other shows on property, and you could tell they were kind of jaded, like they totally weren't impressed. And about 10 minutes after the show started, I saw the mom on the edge of her seat leaning forward with this big smile on her face. And a couple times she just spontaneously clapped during the show. And I'm like, you know, that's what happens at Disney. People mm-hmm. come in and they think, I'm so jaded and I've seen everything. And then you have, you know, a 40-year-old mom who's there under some, you know, under some duress. She really didn't want to be there, really getting into it.
Yeah. Okay.
I only liked Four for a Dollar before the show because a lot of people weren't expecting it. You know, if you'd never seen the show,
that was nice.
You know, Bob,
why don't you tell us what that is all about?
Four for a Dollar was a group of guys. They actually perform under the name Return to Zero outside of the parks, but they performed in Disney for, gosh, like 15 years, I think. It was a long time. And before the Beauty and the Beast show, they would come out pretending to do mic checks. So, you know, you'd have one guy and he would, you know, check, 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 and then he would start to harmonize, and then, you know, another guy would come out and, you know, we're not supposed to do this, you know, come on, they've got a show to do, and they'd put on this little skit, and then, you know, all four guys would come out and they'd start singing, and they'd do like a probably just like a 10-minute pre-show, maybe 15 minutes tops. But that was – it was just something special because, yeah, in the beginning for people that had never been there especially, you know, they honestly thought that these guys were, you know, sound check type people. And it was kind of cool to see the surprise and stuff when they finally realized what it was. And
when there's a
plant
in the audience.
They were very, very talented, vocal artists and you know, you don't have a lot of that anymore. Now you have you still have the Voices of Liberty, but it was just something different and nice. I know. Mm. I just added something, I thought.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, do you count then the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular since it's outside and it's got people?
I don't.
Really?
Count it, but that's the same thing as Beauty and the Beast?
I have no reason. I can be hypocritical. I don't have explanations for my thoughts. They are what they are. I don't. I consider that an attraction.
See, that's not
your,
a great selling point.
This is your show, too. This is your show, though, right?
How about that?
That's right. That's right. So.
No, I don't know why. I guess I'm considering, well, I'm putting my foot in my mouth on that. I was going to say, you know, where's the best place to view it or, you know, any tips, times to see it, first show, last show, you know, they do this. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know. That was my line of thought, but there's no rationale to it.
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't consider Little Mermaid or Indiana Jones to be in this particular podcast topic. I don't have reasoning. So there we go.
You own the show. You say what happens.
I just,
I'm picking on you, Lisa. I was trying to get the rationale, but it makes sense because you're right. There's no really good way to tell somebody this is how to attend it, except wave your arms madly and wildly when they're asking for help.
Yeah, or I'm things sorry. To look for. It is a show. But
it is a show.
But it doesn't belong in our topic tonight. We're doing kind of like the things to catch. I think that is something that you would recommend. That's a not to be missed type of thing. But you might, Beauty and the Beast, you walk by and you think, no big deal. Kind of like the dolphin show or something. You're like, see it, don't see it. I don't know. Am I losing everyone on this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, I've already said there's no rationale behind it, so, there's nothing more I can say.
Oh, and then, of course, I mean, as long as we're talking shows and nighttime shows.
Fantasmic,
which is just an awesome, awesome show. And just get there early because it is an open-air theater.
How early?
If they're only running one show a night.
or one show a week.
If they're only running one show during your stay and only one show that night, get there no later than maybe 30 minutes, and that's pushing it.
Oh, wow.
For good seats, I would say get there an hour early.
I was going to say 90 minutes.
No, I got there a half an hour early and wiggled my way all the way down to like the third row back.
I mean, you may be able to find a seat getting there 30 minutes before showtime, but it's not going to be the best seat. I'd say an hour plus if they're only running one show during the time that you're there, because the theater only fits, I think, like 8,000 people. So it's not huge at all, and the demand is high to see the show. If they are running more than one show a night, and you can stay for the later show, it's less important that you get there early because the second show just don't typically fill up. You can plan that. And then, of course, if you're there during a peak time, they probably are going to run the show at least a few times a week. Fantasmic being a roughly 28-minute show.
Is that it?
It's about 28 minutes. Might even be 26 minutes.
You and your times. You and your trivia. I think it's cute.
And in an open-air theater, with the water element, so if you're in the first couple of rows, you may get wet. And this is basically Mickey's dream sequence. You know, it tells the story of him, as the sorcerer, and he's dreaming, and the dream turns, goes from cute to, the villains kind of get in there and turn it dangerous, and, can Mickey overcome his dreams, and just neat special effects, I don't know. One of my favorite shows, next to Wishes. I think it's one of my favorites. Something I've probably easily seen 50, 60 times.
Wow. What do you guys think about the Fantasmic dining package?
I think it's a waste.
Me too.
Well, why do you think it's a waste? Because you're not paying any extra. You just have to.
I think they make you go there like an hour early when you can go there a half hour earlier and get similar seats.
And no, the dining,
they take you half an hour.
Unless it's really busy.
And the seating is like all the way at the right. It's not really good.
You can get better seats by going on your own.
Yeah.
Unless it's super busy in the park that day.
And the times are really funky, too. You have to eat before, 5 o'clock or something?
Yeah, no, I think it's before 4. It's after 2 and before 4 or something?
I thought it was after 1.
Maybe it's after 1.
They have a lunch time and they have a dinner time.
Yeah, but it's just crazy eating.
My biggest issue with it is... I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
No, go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, I'll come
in.
No,
I was going to say my biggest issue with it is where they put people. I think if you're paying for the package, they should seat you at least in the middle.
Not only that, but I'm not a fan of the restaurants in Hollywood Studios.
Nobody is, right?
Oh, except the cupcake place.
Nothing but sugar.
No. The cupcake place. I didn't say the cupcakes because have a Napoleon. Or was it the Napoleon? Maybe it was an eclair. But I got something there that was just fabulous. So I will be back.
Well, I try to recommend.
If they made the cupcake place part of the Fantasmic package, I might be in.
Then you could just eat. You'd be hopped up on sugar.
Absolutely.
You'd be dancing and thing. It really depends on your family. I've got a child with bipolar disorder and ADHD that can't stand any type of weight or crowds. And this way, we are assured a seat. We know we're going to get a seat if we show up at a certain time, and it's not a bad wait for us.
Yeah,
I would be stressed waiting. Are we going to get a seat? Where are we going to be sitting? They take you at an alternate entrance, so you're not surrounded by the thousands of other people that are walking.
Yeah, but with a medical with issues like that, wouldn't they make accommodations for you anyway?
Well, I don't think I've used the guest assistance card with him before, but I don't think it counts for this. I've never tried it with that.
I bet you they do.
If you explain that it's a problem, they will accommodate you.
Okay, that's good to know.
Think about it. They're going to accommodate you if it's a legitimate issue with bipolar or autistic or a number of other issues. They're going to do something to help you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we used the guest assistance card. It was amazing. It made the trip much, much better.
Right. And don't even think about getting one if you don't need it, because it's not to be abused. It's such a gift for those that need it. And this is a whole nother show anyway, so.
Yeah, so we'll get off topic with that. Yeah. So.
We do that. We've got
that
all these
actually makes my blood boil when people do that.
Where they say I'm going to get a fake cast, or I'm going to
I can't
wrap
ankle
up. No, don't even. That bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to keep plugging here. Studios, Animal Kingdom.
Let me just start by saying I hate that Nemo show.
Gasp.
Oh my gosh.
That Nemo show.
Wow. Are you doing this
Natalie,
just for controversy's
Natalie, don't
sake?
Hold back. Tell us what you really think.
Oh my gosh.
I absolutely despise.
Why do you hate it?
I just thought it was boring. We were asleep in that show. My husband about fell out of the chair, and so did the people in front of us. It was awful.
That's because it was so relaxing and comfortable.
It was
like me.
I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you, Chris. I am right there with you.
I have the appreciation for it.
You need to go back. You need to come back with me.
Chris
won't. She'll blow you off. I'll go with you, Natalie.
No, I went back the second time. And it was because I was pregnant and hot and miserable and needed some place cool to sit down. And I watched it, and it was a little better the second time, but still, it just didn't do it for me.
Were you singing all the songs?
No. I don't think so. No.
I have to say, I love the Festival of the Lion King.
That is beautiful, too.
It's one of my favorites.
I like anything with acrobatics.
We love that one.
Well, and a lot of the people who perform in those shows, and this is something that I think a lot of guests don't know, but a lot of the people who perform in the shows have actually performed on Broadway, and they're very talented.
They really are. The people that do the shows, they're not just Joe Schmo coming in, and no offense, Joe Schmo, but they are theater majors. They are theater trained. They have the singing and the dancing background. They know what they're doing, and the casting calls, the auditions, they're rigorous. So they're very good, high-quality shows and performances.
Flights of Wonder.
Flights of Wonder. Okay, I'll buy that.
How can Flights of Wonder fit into the category but not Little Mermaid?
And there are no people. Well, there are people in Flights of Wonder. That's right.
Yeah, that's a cool show.
It's a live show.
Just give it to her.
It is.
I'm easy now. We got to keep going. We got to wrap
this up.
Okay. It's only your timing.
Mickey's jamming Jungle Parade.
Well, it's a parade, and it's there, and it's jamming.
I got nothing else.
I've got nothing. It's a parade.
Watch it.
It's fun. You've got characters singing, dancing. Whoop,
that's a good one, Bob.
I've got one. The lady that dresses up like a tree.
That's what Bob just said.
Oh, okay.
Well, then what about What about Push and Pippa? Like, are you going to count
what?
Those? Push and Pippa? Push and Pippa.
Oh, I think you should.
The garbage can and the recycling can.
Yeah, they're interesting. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us about that, please?
Oh, sure, yeah. Push is in Tomorrowland, and he is a trash can that will follow you around and talk to you and let you put garbage inside of him. And Pippa is his cousin, which is, stands for plastic, is perfectly awesome. And Pippa is a recycling can that hangs out at Animal Kingdom, usually near Rafiki's conservation station. And basically, they're stand-up comedians? No? I don't know what you would refer to them as. They're receptacles, and they talk back to you, and they have fun.
Yeah, it's
and
interactive.
Kids love them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up with a camera, so whoever is the voice can see what's going on. And there can be...
They're real.
Oh.
They're real.
Sorry.
You know that?
I'm sorry.
No, if you're astute enough, you can pick out the controller with his backpack and microphone close by. That's all we'll say. So,
my
youngest stalked Pippa for about a half hour at the Animal Kingdom. It was awesome. Pippa had him doing tricks and telling him to do stuff like pick his...
He says,
watch this. I can make this kid do a trick. And he turned around and says, pick your nose. And my son's finger went right up his nose. I was so proud. So proud. So
awesome.
So, but yeah. Okay, so that counts as entertainment then. Okay.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for.
Okay.
That stuff that's not scheduled, maybe that still doesn't support my theory.
What about like Cirque du Soleil? Does that count?
I'm thinking not so much, but it is a wonderful show.
That would be Cirque du Nole. Oh, sorry, that was a bad joke. I'm sorry. Like Cirque du not gonna be a perform. Never mind.
That's just lame.
Yeah, that was, and I thought it sounded so much funnier in my head, but
that's
most
okay.
Stuff does.
Okay. What about seasonal things? I'm trying to think. They've got the carolers at Downtown Disney at Christmas time.
The Christmas shows that they do.
Yeah, Christmas shows.
In front of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
What about
Epcot? There's something in each country.
Yeah. Those are great. Yeah, holidays are fun.
The candlelight procession.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can throw that in there.
What about the Night of Joy? Don't they have like special singers and things like that?
They do, but that's a special event ticket. That's unto itself. I mean, you go for all the singers. So there's so many different stage shows and singers and events.
Osborne Lights.
I like that. But now we're just getting into special events. We're away from shows.
Easily sidetracked.
Well,
maybe
wondering
I need to have
definition.
I was going to say I should have given you a formal memo stating what I consider.
Well, what about when you get outside the park? You mentioned Downtown Disney. They don't really have as much entertainment, but they do have that stage that they sometimes will have. Well, that's another thing that we
they'll
didn't
have
talk
like
about.
DJs and stuff down there too.
Yeah, they'll invite high school bands or college bands to come and play at various spots throughout the world.
Yeah,
you never know. Sort of random.
Okay, I have a couple of listener questions, and thank you everyone for everything that you've done. This was a very entertaining episode, especially thanks to George for taking that first segment.
Well, you're welcome. It's fun.
Okay, so I've got a note, got an email from Kurt, and he writes, "Hey team, I'm a huge fan of your show. I've been listening for about 2 months, and I have never missed an episode. Please keep up the great work." Thank you. The great work like we produced tonight. I have a question about rope drop at Magic Kingdom. My family and I are planning an 8-day trip to the world starting August 16th. We have an ADR for Cinderella's Royal Table at 8:20 on an early morning extra magic hours day when the park opens at 8. How soon can we get into the park prior to rope drop? We have never been to a rope drop. I figure we could skip the rope drop show, use the reservation to be in the park when the rides open. This way we can hit a ride or two and grab a fast pass before our reservation. This way we can enjoy our meal and still hit the park running when we are done. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so what time is their reservation, and what time does the park open that day?
It's an early
it's at 8.
Early magic hours at 8.
And reservation's 8:20.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And so how firm is that 8 o'clock park opening?
I mean, I think it's pretty firm, right?
Yeah.
They won't let you pass the rope until...
They're not going to let you pass the rope, but they will let you into the park onto Main Street.
Right.
So keep that in mind. So if you got there at 7:40, they're going to let you onto Main Street 7:45-ish. It's different depending on the day. So you can actually plan to get there a few minutes early to get into the park to get ahead of most people. And then you're going to stop at the rope, have your game plan figured out, and know what rides you want to jump on, and plan out your fast passes. Because you will get right on a couple of rides. You're right, you can get two rides in within 20 minutes. You do want to show up for your reservation on time, though.
What if they don't get there, and what if they get there, but they're way at the end of Main Street, so they have quite a ways to go and a lot of people to go through? At that time in the morning, are the shops open?
Could they
sneak through the shops like you do? You know how you sometimes go around in the shops and skedaddle?
You know what, though? Not all the shops are always open early.
That's what I wonder.
Especially the eateries.
Okay.
Yeah, but they could always just go right up and do a quick fast pass and then go for their ADR.
Yeah, I would definitely do a fast pass before your reservation. And you probably...
one person can check in and one person can go do all the fast pass.
Yeah, definitely get your fast pass before you eat. But I bet you could probably get at least one ride and then retrieve your fast passes and make your dinner or your breakfast, in plenty of time.
I would definitely try to do a walk on and then get a fast pass.
Mm-hmm.
Not the other way around.
Well,
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, at that early, you're talking 15 minutes. You're not going to sell out. But, you know, maybe have one person that sacrifices themselves. They didn't want to ride Space Mountain anyway. And so they get the fast passes and everyone else goes on Space Mountain. You need a sacrificial lamb.
Do you think Space Mountain would be more, or do you think they should do the, like, Fantasyland rides? Yeah, they should do Fantasyland.
Yeah, Dumbo would be a good idea.
Dumbo, Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm, because those lines, Peter Pan's got a fast pass. Dumbo just doesn't have the fast pass.
Yeah, but Peter Pan is just, there's always a way to Peter Pan. I don't get that.
Peter Pan moves. You feel like you're moving the whole time, where Dumbo, it's... okay, load, unload, load, unload.
Yeah, it's torture.
It is torture.
Even when there is no line at Dumbo, there's still a line.
Right. Yeah. You know, Dumbo's typically 45 minutes because it's in cycles.
So Winnie the Pooh, too, is like that.
Winnie the Pooh's a little more smooth. It's constant load. It's continuous. No, I don't mind waiting for Peter Pan. I do mind waiting for Dumbo.
Dumbo's hard to wait for.
Yeah, he didn't mention the ages of the children that I recall. No. And, you know, it's going to depend on the ages of the kids, what their interests are. They might not want to ride Dumbo because they're 14 and 16. I don't know. So.
Although I still ride Dumbo and I'm going to be 40.
Okay. All right.
In about 15 years, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, nice save.
I had to have something, so.
Okay, let me jump in with another listener question. I hope that answers your question, Kurt. I think we gave you plenty to chew on there. This is from Jennifer, and Jennifer writes, "Dear Mouse Chatters," I like that. "Thank you for a terrific podcast. I've listened to you from episode 1, and I look forward to hearing your chatter every week. I confess that many times I turn the iPod off because I'm laughing too hard to hear you." Yay! "I've been going to Walt Disney World since before I can remember. My dad's best friend colored the Magic Kingdom." Yay! "He was responsible for the 25th Castle Cake, then built Castaway Cay and Disneyland Paris, and is now going to Shanghai. So I've grown up with Disney. My family of 8, 5 girls and 1 boy, ages..." "Family of 8, mom and dad, 5 girls, 1 boy, ages 4 through 20, have been to Walt Disney World a ton, but we are going on our first cruise on the Disney Dream next spring break, which will be April. A few questions. Is it best to arrive in Orlando the night before boarding?" Do you want me to read all the questions or tackle them one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay. "Is it best to arrive in Orlando the night before boarding?" I say yes. Well, it depends on if you're driving or flying, too. If you're flying, definitely get there the night before. Whether you stay at a Disney World Resort and do that hour drive in the morning, or stay near the port and just relax and have a five-minute drive, I think it's in your best interest to stay the night before.
Yeah, I always encourage people to fly down the night before, because I actually had somebody during spring break, their plane broke down. They couldn't fly out till the next morning. And so, you know, you always have that chance.
And it depends on the airport that you're flying out of. Some places have flights every hour to Orlando, and some have them once a day.
Not about like us, the backwoods here. We got two flights a week.
Wow. Wow. Being in Atlanta, we have flights quite frequently.
Well, no, I think during the summer we can go. Well, you have to plan it completely around these flights. You can go Saturday, Thursday, and Tuesdays.
Wow.
I think I just heard the theme song from Deliverance.
That's from Georgia.
Wow.
Okay, Bob. What do you think? Arrive the night before or not?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you're flying, I totally concur. I mean, because you just never know what's gonna, you know, what could happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, with flights or something. Well, so yeah, I just think it's much better to be there and know that, you know, you'll have an easy voyage out to the ship and mm-hmm. you know, no worries.
That's what my plan is for air cruise when we go in August, the night before.
Okay, question two. We have five questions. Question two is, will Walt Disney World Resort take me to Port Canaveral? I guess that means, will they provide the transportation? You can arrange to have transportation, get your transfers. You're going to pay $70 round trip, which could mean if you're going to stay at a Disney resort the night before and then take the bus to the port and then take the bus from the port to the airport on the return, it's $70 per person. If you have a larger party, which you do, your $70 times 8 people is going to add up real fast. For the same amount of money or less, you can travel in style, get a limousine, and you'll actually save money for larger groups. I think once you hit 5 people, you save money. You start to save money. 4 people, I think you're pretty even. But there are companies out there that will offer you a very nice price on a limousine or a town car or a van. And you can even get a mini bus, like one of those shuttle buses, if your family is large enough or your group. And there are groups of 15, 20, 25 people that go on cruises, so it's not out of the question. Okay. It says, I have first seating, I think. Is that the best with coming back from excursions?
Depends on if you have kids, how small are the kids? Did it say how small the kids were?
Anywhere from 4 to 20. Yeah, that's quite a range.
With small kids, first seating I think is better.
Yeah. You can what about in conjunction with going on excursions?
It depends on what type of the port.
Yeah, I mean, if they're... Most of the excursions, especially if they're booked directly through Disney, are going to get you back in time. I mean, they know what times the ship is running dinner seatings, so you're going to be back.
Yeah.
Where I don't like first seatings, I would agree, it is better with younger children to have first seating. Where I don't like having the early seating is like a day at Castaway Cay, where, you know, it kind of cuts into your beach time or your really relaxation time because you got to get back to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't have as much time. But, right. I mean, as far as excursions, everything that I know from my recent cruise with Disney, everything that I booked, you were back, you know, in far enough time to get ready.
Right. I agree. I think, what is it, like a 5:30 is the first one, I think. It's not a problem. You're going to be back on the ship. They usually have an all aboard at 4:30, so you're going to be on the ship. It's just a matter of getting there in time to get cleaned up and ready for dinner, like Bob said. So I think you're going to be fine. And you will prefer that first seating with the younger aged kids. I don't know how many are on the younger end, but you've got at least a four-year-old, and you're going to want that early seating, definitely. And if you don't get back and you don't feel comfortable and you didn't get cleaned up in time and it just didn't happen, just go to the buffet. You don't have to eat in the restaurant, so you'll still get good food if you go to an alternate location. Do I need to book excursions before we board? Highly advised. That's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Because they sell out. Won't they sell out some of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the popular ones will sell out. And then you're scrambling. You're like, I wanted to go. Any must-dos that occasionally get overlooked?
Well, I mean, if you're on the Disney Dream, overlooked, you're probably not going to overlook it because it's going to be right there in front of you, the Aqueduct, because, you know, they're the first cruise line with a water coaster at sea. So that's probably a must-do. And then I think one of the coolest features that they have on board the ship is the artwork that comes to life, you know, and it's not all the artwork, but a lot of the artwork, you know, when you look at it, will suddenly start to move. So you might, you know, look at a picture of, you know, Bambi, and butterflies will, you know, fly up from the grass, you know, kind of neat. So take the time to, you know, explore the ship a little bit and look at the artwork and stuff. I don't know if those are overlooked things. I guess not.
It's silly, but I kind of like watching a movie, especially if there's a first run. I do like to catch a movie while I'm there. And it's silly, but...
Yeah, there's a premiere at sea. No, that's cool.
Yeah. Grab some popcorn and, you know, a couple of sodas and just have a good old-fashioned movie time.
And you know, some people overlook the shows just thinking, you know, they're not going to be interested. Oh, I don't want to see that. It's going to be boring, or, you know, how good could it possibly be? They're wonderful. You know, don't overlook them. Make a point of going to the shows because they are Broadway style caliber shows. And it's impressive to, you know, to see the quality of the actors, but also to know that they're doing this on a ship, mm-hmm. you know, that's sailing across the ocean at the same time. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And I agree. If you've been on other cruise lines and you're thinking it's going to be just like those where you get this corny comedian or you get this, you know, corny dance show, no, these are truly, as Bob said, they're Broadway quality shows. Just incredible. So, and they've been awarded as being the best on the sea. So it's great. But that's what she says. That's what she asked about. And it says, thanks for the podcast. Really, although my girls and I will be down in Walt Disney World for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween the week after you run, I wish you all good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the nice words. Yeah, I think we're going to be doing more walking than running. But
yeah, I just have it already set in my mind that the running part isn't going to happen so much. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next week on Mousechat.